The thing is, what do you think of what Adam did there? He listed the management of everything. What does
that strike you? I was sitting here wondering, when are we going to get back to the clip? Well, yeah, I mean, we got about 5 seconds into the clip and we're gone for an hour. Well, it sounded like he was giving a bunch of excuses as to the whole system.
Yeah, he was apologizing for the system.
Yeah, pointless excuses. All, as you say, managerial. Well, managerial excuses, which are just useless. I mean, Adam Vaughan's not going, well, this is going to benefit the Canadian people through this purpose. I mean, it isn't going to benefit anybody. It's just moving these people about and changing what they're saying, what they're doing, and moving some of them out that are, you know, Trudeau's been informed that some of them aren't going to run anymore. And, like the key, I mean, amazingly, maybe I discussed this last week, but, the key stooge, Marco Mendicino, there's no bigger stooge in the Liberal Party than him. And he's not running and he's out of cabinet. So they got everybody together and go, okay, now who's running? Who's actually going to run in this next election with me? And a bunch of them went, you know, under threat of death. You got to tell us. And they go, oh, okay, I'm not going to run.
Right.
And he goes, oh, you're not with me? Okay, you're out. and also he's, I mean, to a certain extent, evidently, I have to look at a map on this and start plotting names and people out. But evidently he's trying to spread around the cabinet ministers a bit more. Because basically, if he makes somebody a cabinet minister in a particular locality, I wouldn't say it guarantees them getting in an election, because there are some exceptions in the last election where that little pretend Afghan woman who's really an Iranian, she was gotten rid of. I don't know what happened to her.
Yeah,
she probably got some cushy job, but in Peterborough. But, you know, he's trying to – basically, if you make someone a cabinet minister, that leads the people who live in that area to go, oh, we're going to get some more money. You know, we're going to be given stuff, because our MP is now an important MP.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean – and Adam Vaughan just sounded so weak talking about that.
Yeah, we should listen to a little more.
We should. I mean, how much did we hear? 10 seconds?
Yeah.
About, I mean, really, Bob?
Yeah. No, but he did a great inventory, as Brian said. He's very good at speaking like that. He can remember all the factors. He listed 5 different media management that had to be done. You know,
Region, that are typical, in a sense, as he views it. Typically Canadian, bilingualism and this and that, and multiculturalism. And what were the 5 reasons exactly?
He said languages have to be reconciled, different languages.
Languages.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess.
And then he said different regions.
Right.
And then he said gender had to be acknowledged. Gender representation. That was 3. You remember any other, Brian? What else did he? Well, I'll just replay it. No, I can't. Yeah, I can. I can go back and replay it, because right at the beginning, it's only a minute long. But what I was going to say, that what is this guy wants to know? The interviewer wants to know, why is he doing all this? And if I was there, I'd say it's because of you, because of television.
Yes,
we must match up all the images of all the conflicting fucking tribes in our world today. And so it's caused by you, Mr. Interviewer.
Well, really, what Adam Vaughan is not saying, which he kind of said it, didn't he? He said that all of them want to be cabinet ministers.
Yeah.
All of them. That's
they
what
even
they
understand
dreamed
human
of.
Greed, human yeah. ambition. They
all
have to bring that in part of the map.
All of them are there, and they all are acquisitive in terms of having a cabinet position because it'll raise their salary and raises yeah. their worth, right? Because
yeah.
they're on the inside track.
That's a very cynical statement he made there, Greg.
What?
That's cynicism.
Yeah.
He insulted everybody. Everybody, you fuckers are here just trying to get into a cabinet to
and I,
you know,
I
pump up your
I
own
wonder,
career.
Was Adam Vaughn ever in the cabinet? I don't think so.
No, he was an advisor at the highest level. I think he was an advisor to Trudeau.
But he was never in the cabinet.
I don't think so.
That's
but
interesting.
The guy seemed to say he was. If you re-listen to it, we'll do it. He says, well, you know this because you were there. And maybe he just meant you were part of the party and part of the government that was in charge. But anyways, yeah, let's listen to some more. But note the five factors that he does a quick inventory on. So I'll just go back and are you back here, Chad? I don't see Chad. Something happened to Chad. Okay, so what's Leon saying? Natural-born killers. Bob as Mickey Knox, Carolyn as Mallory Knox, and CPSO is Ed Wilson, Mallory's dad. I saw Natural Born Killers, but I don't remember what went on in there. And also, American Media Management, Leon says, Shepherd, sheep's wool as content, sharecropper, cotton as content, picking content. Good job, Bob, says Leon. So he's up on what we're trying to do.
Adam Vaughn, okay. Adam, I'd love to see, I think we've gone through this before. But I'd love to see Adam Vaughn's cartoons.
Well, yeah, he was doing that, wasn't he? He showed
yes,
that
before becoming a journalist. Adam Vaughn was a cartoonist.
Yeah.
For Books in
yeah.
Canada, Quill and Quire, Canadian Forum, and several other publications. And here's another one. After Marilyn Lastman, the wife of the then mayor of Toronto, Mel Lastman, was caught shoplifting from an Eaton
yeah.
store in Toronto, the mayor threatened to kill Vaughn if he reported on his family.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't remember that one. That's new to me.
Yeah. Mel Lastman, he was a loudmouth, you know. And
oh,
he did.
So he was from CKLN 1982 to 87. They actually mentioned that here. They actually mentioned the CKLN in his Wikipedia.
Did they say 82? No, he showed up in 84.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's wrong too. And
yeah,
was manager of the station from 85 to 87.
Yeah. And that's some bio you're looking at?
Yeah. He joined City TV in 1987 as a producer of Citywide. He left in 1989, to join the board of the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters.
Wow.
In 1990, he joined Metro Morning on CBL as segment producer. They always go there, huh? Always get over to the CBC radio. He subsequently
yes.
joined CBLT in 1994, covering here's an obvious one, covering City Hall as a municipal reporter, producer, and director.
Yeah, working for his father.
Basically, he was at City TV in 1989, but he didn't return there until 2000.
Yeah. Now, Dave, there was a woman on the – I don't think she was DJ – but she might have been on the staff. Now, she was a Serb or something, and European, and she was cynical, and she was a good friend of Dave Neufeld. Now, she ended up working at City TV the same time Adam was there after 87, right? He goes to City TV from CKLN. Is that right? 87 to 89? 2 years?
When? What? That he was where? At City TV? Yeah, around that.
Yeah. Yeah. And she talked about how everybody hated Adam, probably because of the nepotism and the father thing, but he was such an asshole and a hypocrite and a compromising liberal or something, and she was a radical leftist. But anyways, we heard it didn't surprise us, after only 2 years at City TV, he left. I think he was driven out by the animosity. So so we heard about it through this woman. So then he does this management stuff. He gets to the board of World College Stations or something. And then he does something else. And then he does CBC. And he doesn't come back to City TV until many years later when the dust is cleared of what he had done before. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yes, yes.
You know, he cleaned up his image, and he came in not as a guy working his way up the ranks of City TV. He did that at CBC, got a certain authority, and then he was able to, City TV would like him, right? It's a medal, an award to have Adam Bond back on their station. He's more successful. He's not an irritant. That's what I think. And then he stayed there for a long time, didn't he?
Where? At City TV?
At City TV, yeah, 2000.
Yeah, I guess he was there for a little while, yeah. I'm not sure when. Maybe he returned after Znaimer sold out. When did Znaimer sell out of that place?
Yeah,
maybe that's when he was allowed back.
Yeah, maybe Znaimer didn't like him or something, yeah, and that's why he had to leave. So he comes back, and then he gets in, then he becomes a City Alderman thing, right?
Yeah.
And then he's really got status. And then therefore he's a biggie in the Liberal Party. And he goes to Ottawa. And then something makes him quit. And now, as you get older, the slackest job is to do what he does. You're the talking head. Just has to come on. And they said he represented that firm that he worked for, right? Yeah, he
right.
Said very fast. The guy says he's a member of blah, 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 blah. Really
yeah,
fast.
Yeah. That's a bad organization.
Yeah, and so here's Adam, the slack job. All he has to do is talk, you know? That's his job. And be a talking head that they're going to call on because he has a certain
He's one of those experts. He's one of those experts that we were talking about last week.
That's right. And so here he is, and I was wondering, I knew I'd play it and we'd comment on it. I was wondering, should we send this to Adam? Well, let's see how we do because – we got so sidetracked with the Mindipian Satire point, but let's go back and play this. So I have to play to clear it and play that.
Okay, we're coming up at 10:30 this morning. We are expecting what will be a sizable cabinet shuffle by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. So joining us in studio to talk more about this is Adam Vaughan, a principal at Navigator, but more relevant to this conversation, former Liberal MP, member of that government, of course. So we've understood there have been several people who have said, you know, I'm not running again, so they're leaving cabinet, four of them. Three others we know are leaving cabinet, effectively being demoted there, Lametti, Marco Medicino, among those. What do you make of what you're hearing so far about the fact that so much of the cabinet is really going to take on new portfolios?
So building a cabinet is not easy. don't begrudge the Prime Minister the work here. It's tough because it's not just the cabinet you reset. It's also caucus management and about 150 MPs up there who all want to be in cabinet.
Yeah.
So it's pretty clear that the Trudeau government right now is resetting around the economic sort of thrust they want to push into a fall agenda in Parliament, focused largely on housing, I'm told, but there are other economic indicators which are challenging. And so he wants to sort of build the A-team around the economic issues, and that requires moving people. And before you move people, you check, am I moving you and you're running again? That's why you saw the sort of announcements of retirement. And then you take a look at the strong and the weak performers, and then you start to take a look at how that balances out geographically across the regions, linguistically across the languages. Mm-hmm. The Prime Minister is, responsibly taking a long look at how gender sort of influences decisions around the cabinet table. And then you start to look at, and I think this is where some of the speculation is leading, which voting blocks do you need to pay attention to as you head into the next election? And that's both sort of cultural, ethnic voting blocks that you see in some parts of the country. It's also regional sort of representation that drives that agenda, and people in swing ridings. So you got a lot of math to do and a lot of calculations to make, but at the center of it all is an economic reset that the Prime Minister wants to launch in the fall.
And when you talk about an economic reset...
Okay, let's just review he said at the very beginning, logistically, you have to see out who's going to run again, right? That was his first factor that was had to be considered. Are you there, Greg?
Yeah.
So logistically, whether they run or not. Then he got into the languages, you heard that, the regions and gender. And then he had a bunch of others after that. Now, what were they? Do you remember the later ones? The positioning or something of which part of Canada you focus on. He talked about focusing on the tribes or something, besides the languages and the regions. So let me just replay that. Catch the, it should be about six or seven items there. So let me do this again. So try to write it down, or Brian, note it.
Okay, well, coming up at 10:30 this morning, we are expecting what will be a sizable cabinet shuffle by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. So joining us in studio to talk more about this is Adam Vaughan, a principal at Navigator, but more relevant to this conversation, former Liberal MP, member of that government, of course. So we've understood there have been several people who have said, you know, I'm not running again, so they're leaving cabinet, four of them. Three others we know are leaving cabinet, effectively being demoted there, Lametti, Marco Medicino, among those. What do you make of what you're hearing so far about the fact that so much of the cabinet is really going to take on new portfolios?
So building a cabinet is not easy. I don't begrudge the Prime Minister the work here. It's tough because it's not just the cabinet you reset, it's also caucus management, and about 150 MPs up there who all want to be in cabinet.
Yeah.
So it's pretty clear that the Trudeau government right now is resetting around the economic sort of thrust they want to sort of push into a fall agenda in Parliament, focused largely on housing, I'm told, but there are other economic indicators which are challenging. And so he wants to sort of build the A-team around the economic issues, and that requires moving people. And before you move people, you check, am I moving you and you're running again? That's why you saw the sort of the announcements of retirement. And then you take a look at the strong and the weak performers, and then you start to take a look at how that balances out geographically across the regions, linguistically across the languages. Mm-hmm. The Prime Minister is, you know, responsibly taking a long look at how gender sort of influences decisions around the cabinet table. And then you start to look at, and I think this is where some of the speculation is leading, which voting blocks do you need to pay attention to as you head into the next election? And that's both sort of cultural, ethnic voting blocks that you see in some parts of the country. It's also regional sort of representation that drives that agenda, and people in swing ridings. So you got a lot of math to do and a lot of calculations to make, but at the center of it all is an economic reset that the Prime Minister wants to launch in the fall.
And when you talk about an economic reset, we're seeing Anita Anand, apparently she's moving into the Treasury Board. That is sort of an economic portfolio. But you've got Chrystia Freeland, who apparently is going to remain on as Finance Minister and Deputy Prime Minister. Stephen Guilbeault apparently is going to stay on in environment. Some people are saying, without changing some of the more top priority positions, that's not really a change in cabinet. How do you answer that? I would
look at what's done around housing. I think that's a portfolio that I worked a lot on when I was up in Ottawa. And I was never a big fan of a standalone ministry. I think housing impacts every ministry. Mm-hmm. But to get the technical part of housing, the financial architecture in order to solve the housing crisis, and to get the social housing piece put into place where it has more effect, you've got to start creating ministries that have more direct responsibility around housing. Right now, housing is farmed out to CMHC through a Crown Corporation. A lot of policy is done away from the cabinet table. I think there's a move to pull that into the cabinet table, so the command over the issue is much more political and a lot less sort of financial in terms of its architecture. So looking at that piece, they've got to build around it. And the Rita Anita Anand going to Treasury Board is so important, as that's the sort of the body. I wish I'd known this before I went into politics, but that body fine-tunes the policy before it leaves the shop.
Right, okay.
And that's where you catch mistakes, and that's where when you announce legislation and the public sort of says Clause A is a problem, Treasury Board is where you fix that stuff. And so Anita Anand going there, I think what she's bringing there is the skills we saw in her at during COVID, which is to get things done quickly and get things done well. And that's a skill set that she has.
Clearly, this is an election-ready cabinet. Of course, there's a confidence supply agreement in place with the New Democrats right now. Only have about 30 seconds left, Adam. But do you think that this signals that maybe we'll go to an election sooner than later?
We spent all summer speculating about the cabinet.
We sure do.
I think that they want a good run through the fall to a budget. Mm-hmm. A lot of the things that they need to, especially around housing, requires parliamentary spending as opposed to simply just amending existing programs. And so my sense is you can put off speculation of that until you see a budget in the spring, and then you'll have a better idea.
Pretty good. Okay, great to have you on. Adam Vaughn again, principal navigator, but former Liberal MP. Thanks for joining us again this morning.
Okay, why do they have to fucking talk so fast?
They were in a hurry, huh?
Yeah, and they only had a few minutes, but still, there was too much said there for anybody to follow.
Yeah.
Your average person who's not that informed, what the hell are they talking about? And they get a general impression, well, they got to manage everything behind the scenes and make their area good so that it looks good to us out here somehow. The acceptance of the media management is now, it's a cliche now. So we've moved to another level here where Tetra management is accepted to be gossip in a talk show, whatever it is, a news show. It's quite extreme. And Adam is very good at spewing it off fast, right?
So do you mean that this is an example of the kind of thing that formerly would have just been the conversation in the smoky back room, but now now it's a cliche because it's the day-to-day analysis?
Yeah, because people have watched the explanation of mechanics of the smoke room behind the scenes for 30 or more years of,
right.
Because remember, TV had to always have content. So everything had to be talked about eventually to have content. And they go over and over and new levels are brought in. So the average citizen who's sort of informed is very sophisticated in an innocent way. And they've been mutated and educated about all this manipulation. And depending on their personality, they might say, well, I know they're manipulating. My neighbor doesn't know, but he's stupid. I'm not. I understand it. So you think you got status by following what Adam's saying. But I made an inventory. He starts off saying, okay, this ain't easy. Did you get that, Greg?
Yeah, yeah. And later on he says, it's like Trudeau had to sit down with all kinds of numbers and add stuff up and do complex mathematics.
Yeah. To make it sound like math. I mean, I guess there's some math involved, but it's interesting because it has this, it carries this kind of assumption that, you know, I was saying like, oh, what about the idea of the best person for the job? And there's a certain, an eye roll factor at that suggestion that's not even necessarily totally inappropriate because it's like, you know, do you really think that any of these, like, oh, now that I've given this cabinet minister this power, now it's just all up to them? You know, the whole point, like, they don't make any big decisions that, like, when was the last time we saw a cabinet minister, like, you know, valiantly go against the PMO? Like, come on. Yeah. Like, if you see that happen, it's probably deliberate theater anyway, but you don't really see that. So the idea that we're just picking the person who's best for the image, the imagery in the upcoming election and the audience management. You know, it's almost like not even that outrageous because like, well, what do you think a cabinet minister, how much power do you think they have anyway? They answer, they're team players. They don't do stuff on their own. But then that's the same with Justin Trudeau. It's like he's creating this impression of like, oh, Trudeau is like, you know, like, keep the kids occupied, Sophie. I've got a lot of work to do tonight. I'm shutting myself up in my study to do all this math, decide who's the cabinet. No, someone else does the math for him, hands him the recommendations, and it would be like an extraordinary situation if he had a strong objection to any of the recommendations. Like, he's just the minister in charge of appearing to make the decision.
Of what's already been decided. He doesn't make a decision. It's done for him.
Yeah, he's the fig leaf.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so he starts off saying, look, let's be sympathetic to this fucking creepy guy that tried to repress everybody a couple of years ago in the middle of COVID. It's not easy doing making a cabinet. Then the next, you've got to deal with the caucus MP, the caucus and the MP's ambitions to be in the cabinet. Okay, you got to fucking orchestrate that well. You probably had to make deals with these MPs to have them in the party, and he had to promise them stuff. So he's going to juggle the promises he told these people to get them even to be politicians. So then he says you have to have the A team. There's the hierarchy. The A team will deal with the economic reset. Did you catch that part? The A team. Adam is so conscious of fucking status, it's ridiculous. He says, well, you got the A team, and those are the guys that got, they're beyond the cabinet. They're fucking dealing with serious shit, which is the housing crisis and the economics. So then the next part is was logistics of something. I didn't really get it. It was he dropped
kind of a way of undermining some of the other new cabinet ministers are a little bit undermined there. It's like, oh well, I guess I'm not on the A team though.
Yeah.
Well, and also,
yeah.
but Adam Vaughn is also illuminating why he was never in the A team. Basically I'm without saying it. I mean, he's saying, I was a white guy. I'm a man. And, they had a lot of people from Toronto originally. So that's
why you're right.
Otherwise, I would have been in the 18.
Doubles. You're right. You're absolutely right. Like, everything he said doubles as an excuse for why he was never picked for cabinet. It's not because I wasn't cabinet material. It's because of all these things that I'm telling you that he has to keep in mind.
Yeah, the larger environments, the conflicting environments that have to be considered.
That's fascinating. Yeah, that sort of interpersonal thing, too, because that's him taking the high road, too, right? Like, he's basically venting his resentment at being cabinet material but never getting that because of all these other considerations. But he's expressing it in a way that sounds like he expresses it in a way that's all good PR for the prime minister on the surface anyway. But it's interesting the way that, they're managing. Go ahead.
Yeah. The logistics was where he says, you got to decide who's strong and who's weak. Okay. You're from Halifax. So you're rather weak, buddy. You're not going to do nothing. You just sit in the back bench. Yeah, and he has to accept that, the judgment of the elite of the party telling the local MP he's weak. So, but he's admitting you got to figure out who's strong and who's weak. Then he says you figure out the regions. Then you figure out the language differences and the meeting of the different language communities. Then he mentions gender. Then he talks about voting blocks. And he says that's the ethnic. Now, how's that different from language and gender? What is a voting block? Is that dealing with other parties?
No, that's if you got a lot of Yukis. If you got a lot of Yukis in a particular area, you got to worry about the voting block.
Well, he was saying he already mentioned ethnic something. So
what is a voting block as opposed to a language group or a regional group?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe
he's
talking
ethnic. I guess it's another part of the tribalism. It's not geographic. It's not region. It's not language.
Yeah.
It's something about the Ukrainians that Greg was just saying. You have the Ukrainian bloc and then the Italians.
If in an area you've got a lot of a particular type of people, that's a voting bloc. When you're worried about
I missed your words, Greg. You're in an area, you have a voting block?
In a riding. Let's say in a riding.
Yeah.
If they determine that there are a lot of Indians there or Yukis or whatever, okay? I would say those are the two major considerations in Canada now.
Yeah.
There may be others, but then you've got to consider, what are you going to do to satisfy those Yukis and those Indians? And they do, you know, like he makes sure that there are people with turbans. And he makes sure that Freeland remains, you know, the person completely incompetent, remains in a position of almost in power.
Yeah, the agent of the Big Brother historical part of the 20th century, the Fourth Reich and all that.
Right.
Yeah, you have to have someone representing Big Brother in the old sense.
Because that's different than ethnicity. That's way different than ethnicity. Ethnicity is sort of comparatively minor situation. That's like saying, like in my riding, You got the wealthier there in a particular area. And maybe not so much now, actually, since that, I think that was carved out in that, yeah, the wealthy area was carved out and given to Freeland. They made a new riding. They made a new riding for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in my riding, lots of all kinds of people, right? And lots of Muslims. Now the Muslims are turning into a little bit of a problem because of the whole, you know, gay transgender thing and the policy of the government. Now, how's that going to play out? I don't know. Will they keep voting liberal? Most likely. But
what I found more interesting the second time around was the, I think it was the very first thing you mentioned, and it's kind of the one that's different than the others. The thing that, like, well, first he has to, like, go around and see who's retiring or who's planning on retiring, you know.
Yeah.
There's, you know, because you wouldn't want to just say, like, I'm going to make you a cabinet minister, and then they're like, oh, I actually wasn't going to run for re-election. That's awkward. You know, should have talked to me first. Like, okay, yeah, obviously. But, you know, and on a surface level, it just seems like an obvious thing to check in with. But I was thinking about it, like, no, this is one of these image management things that they're, but not even so much about the electioneering as just the personal images of the different politicians, because, like, as he said, he's like, oh, and that's why you've seen these announcements of resignations, right? Just casually mentioning that you saw that ahead of the announcement of the cabinet shuffle, you know? You got, like, before the new cabinet was announced, you heard, like, pardon me, you heard, like, the transportation guy, Alhambra, announce that he's not going to seek re-election. You know, he's going to move on to something else. So then that way you know that that's going to be one of the ministries that's going to be getting something, someone new. But the other thing, what it prevents is, otherwise, if you don't have these advance like, it's one thing to check to see who's planning on resigning, but this mentioning of the advance announcements that they're resigning, that's like, it heads off this possibility that they announce the new cabinet and then people are like, whoa, he didn't just shuffle Alhambra to another file. Alhambra's out. Is there a problem? Is there bad blood between Trudeau and Alhambra? You know, and then he would have to come out and be like, no, bad blood. I'm actually was not planning on running for re-election anyway, you know?
But that's,
and then people would still be like, is it, maybe you're just saying that to save face? You know, like, the people that they definitely like are given the courtesy of saving their image from even having to have that conversation about them happen at all, versus other people who are like, I'm shocked and disappointed that I was kicked out of my ministry. I thought I was doing a good job. You know, like, the people who don't, not only did they not come around and ask, are you running for re-election, but they didn't bother to let them know that, that, like, we're dropping you or something. Or maybe they did ahead of time, but still, like, people who are trying to save face by expressing that they don't deserve it.
But that actually happened with, in this case, with that David Lametti guy. He was the one that replaced Jody Wilson-Raybould, exactly a person, as you were describing before, that rare instance where a cabinet minister starts going against the prevailing government publicly. They bring him in, David Lametti, in to replace her. Now he's gone, but he didn't say, I'm not running. So he's in the doghouse for some reason.
Okay, so you got region, the language, and gender. Then ethnic is a subplot of the language part. The voting blocks are ethnic. Then he brings in swing ridings. That has to be considered.
That's what, right? I was talking about earlier, about, let's say there's a riding where they think they're on the edge. So they go, oh, what can be made the difference there? Oh, we'll make someone a cabinet minister.
Right.
And then that'll give them new status. They'll be able to go out and make announcements and look important. And the people in the riding will go, oh, maybe something will happen here. Maybe we'll get some more money.
Yeah. So is that part of the – is that a separate thing, or is that part of voting blocks, swing riding considerations?
No. No. Voting block is definitely where you've got a lot of people who are of a certain ethnicity or culture or whatever. If you got somebody in a particular area, like, for instance, in Brampton and outside of Toronto, you got a lot of Indian people. Same thing out in Vancouver. You got areas where there are a lot of Indian people. That's where Jagmeet Singh went to. He went out to Vancouver to get elected. His brother, I believe, was a member of provincial parliament in Brampton for a period of time. I don't know whether he still is, for the NDP.
Right. But see, how is ethnic different from language considerations?
Because, language technically in Canada is only French and English. You can expand that out to be, you know, native, but that's not really a consideration. They're talking about English and French.
Oh, okay. That's what that is. And ethnic is all the others.
Ethnic are the minor considerations in my writing.
Yeah.
Who did they put in?
Okay.
They put a black woman in. They put a black woman there, right? So
yeah.
A black media person. Now they're hoping that the Muslims are going to look at this black woman and go, oh, okay, well, I guess she's not that bad. Be better if she's a Muslim, but on the other hand, that black woman was given the portfolio of dealing with all the homo stuff. So that's a negative. But that just goes to show how safe that particular riding, Toronto Center, where I live, how safely liberal that is. They know they got that one in the bag.
They know they got that one in the bag?
Yeah. They've had that one in the bag for 3 decades. And it looks like they'll have it in the bag for another 3.
Okay.
Because there's lots of homos living there, lots of uber liberals. You know, I see it. I can smell it when I walk around in there.
Okay, the next thing was you got to catch mistakes. And I don't know what the mistakes were, but that was another consideration. Catch the mistakes. Then he brought in the Treasury Board and how important that person was. And then he said the COVID policy was good. Oh, fuck, man. That's pretty controversial. Or that you're getting too tricky. People are not so accepting that anymore. Remember that Trish woman, the CBC reporter who has her own interview thing, she's an outsider now, and she said that the lady who was in charge of COVID, maybe just in Ontario, got her sash that she wore when she did TV appearances has a special little cabinet on display in the Museum of COVID. She was disgusted at that. But this woman who lied about the COVID stuff, if you believe the alternative view, and the establishment was making the science, pro-science people were saying, you know, she was so good, we're going to immortalize her sash that she was wearing. So that's within the COVID was a good policy, Adam is saying there, right? And so someone managed that well, so they were eligible for the Treasury Board, I think, or it was another person, I don't know, it went by pretty fast. But so I've got here 11 factors. It's not easy. The caucus MPs wanting to be in the cabinet, the A-team, the logistics of something, what was that? The strong and weak, maybe. The logistics of strong and weak, and then region, and then language, gender, voting blocks, and ethnicity, swing ridings, and then catching some kind of mistakes ahead of time. A lot of thinking ahead of time about that. So it looks like that logistics maybe is dealing with the strong and weak. So that makes 10 factors. Now, That is pretty incredible, right? That's pretty complicated compared to 50 years ago.
Yeah. Well, and also, like you said, Bob, it's gossip. It's who's in the royal court. It actually, I don't think there's anything terribly new about it. These people sort of get in, are privy, or sort of in the privy, some of them in the privy council. So they're put in and close to the royalty.
Right. Now, the Foucault was famous for saying in the 60s, don't protest the establishment. You give legitimacy that there is an establishment. If we just fucking ignore them, then they don't have anything to work with. But the establishment seems important if we're rebelling against them, and they're so important that we have to fix them or knock them off. Yet they're worthless, says Foucault. They don't do anything. They're probably just within the management, the image management. So McLuhan laid out the general program, you know, in the 50s, 60s. The image takes over from the actual ideological hardware platform of, you know, feeding the poor or something. So the now, being a politician and all this stuff is silly and a bad thing. So they got to add glamour to it by talking, like Adam is, about all the factors that go in to make this important fucking decision about who's in the cabinet. They're bringing importance to a fucking national cabinet that has no influence against the Bilderbergers or the WEF and the international corporate rulership. You know what I mean? It's fake having nations. And then within nations, you pretend it's fucking significant who's running it, who's in the cabinet. It's all, like you say, gossip to point out not just access to the queen, that royalty, but to pretend there is a royalty in your country, that the meritocracy is encouraging young people to be ambitious to get into. What a lot of image manipulation over a leisure society, basically, where people have to have importance in their roles. And that's what McLuhan said. Nobody has jobs anymore. They got roles. And that's imagery.
Yeah.
So your basic cynicism about it's all about getting money for your region or your gang or something, that is the economic hardware part that is not discussed. It is all about this glamorous thing about whether this person was good in the last cabinet and would they be good over here in that region if they shift them there, you know?
Uh-huh.
And that is there because you got to have the TV guys, which is the major environment for people who's watching TV until maybe recently. Anyways, you got to have this TV environment having content so gossip takes over because you got to have content. You got to pretend you're talking about something significant. So what a colossal fraudulent shit, and that's why the world's going to blow itself up in some form. This collision is happening all over the world because we got too stuck in the image-making process of the new medium, television, back in the 50s, as McLuhan warned. And Adam, he's an expert on talking image management because he grew up with McLuhan. So, you guys have anything to say to that?
I think you said it all, Bob.
Yep.
I'm working. You know, I'm trying to get a clip here that I wanted to play in relation to this, but I'm having trouble.
Okay, so let me say this while you're doing that. There's one statement I think Adam told Neufeld 10 years ago. He said, Bob was a genius. He was on to the value of McLuhan long before anybody else because we were going to do that McLuhan project in 86, 87. And then we didn't do it because Adam fired Dave. But he complimented me on my McLuhan awareness. But again, that's Adam's bias. He knows he had an advantage of his father knowing McLuhan. And we're getting a bit of echo here. But Somebody mute something.
Yeah, I'll mute myself.
So I'm making a McLuhan point here, and Adam is the perfect guy to discuss because he's the most McLuhan-esque of any of those people, just for the fact he knew me and appreciated in some level my McLuhan knowledge. So we should send this to Adam.
But send what we've been saying?
Yeah. See what he says. See if he responds.
I found one of his cartoons. They're difficult to find.
Yeah.
I found one of them on, and I put it up on the chat.
Okay. Nan has laid out the weak and strong people, geographic, logistics, gender, voting blocks, regional. Yeah, and I added a few others, so I think she did that a while ago, maybe before I read mine off. So I've got to renew my thing here to get access to what you've posted. Let's see, where is that? Well, Nan has made herself smarter. She knows to listen to the office hours. Don't have many Ionauts doing that.
Thank you, Nan. They're boycotting. They're sanctioning me. That's why they don't listen to the show, Bob.
Yeah, they're not going to listen to you.
No, they don't want to listen to me. They don't. Also, but they don't realize I barely say anything on this program. But
we do let you speak, you do go on very long.
No, I don't. I don't. That's not true. That's your perception of it, but it's not true.
Well, I'll ask Brian to back me up there.
Well, I think he's the wrong person to ask.
Okay, so where is the car? Oh, there it is. A drawing.
Yes, thank you. Nice name. It's all relative to how interested you are in the topic. That's all. I bang on and on and on about McLuhan stuff, but that's, you know, that gets in, there's a bottomless cup of attention for that on this show. So
this, is this an image of Adam drawing?
Yes. What he did when it was, I don't know what he was doing, but on the last day Ford was going to be there or something, he went and drew a picture of him in some book that's in the City Hall.
And the National Post photographed him doing it.
Yeah.
And that's like 7 years ago, because the guy died shortly after that.
Yeah,
right? So that's when Adam is in the City Hall, and so he's commenting. I remember hearing back then, maybe from you, that Adam was known to be quite argumentative with Ford. Disagreeing with him or something, right? Wasn't that part of his image?
He's a liberal.
Yeah, it was the Adam versus Ford, the extreme of righteousness on either end. The righteous liberal versus the righteous conservative, or fascist, or whatever Ford was. And if Adam's listening to this, I'll just throw this little tidbit. I'm always in on the inside, Adam. Ford's brother, Doug, is it? Doug Ford?
Yeah. I know your connection with him.
Yeah, he married my foster son's, cousin. Yeah, my foster son's cousin was involved with Doug Ford. And there's a whole history in my foster son's family in Toronto and what went on with the foster son and the foster daughter. Another point was that my foster son was an important, what's the Canadian term for an attorney guy working in crime? District attorney, or is that American?
It's American.
What do you guys call it?
Prosecuting attorney?
Or
crown attorney.
Okay.
If it's federal.
He was a crown well, he was local in Toronto, and he was in charge of the dope squad. So he busted a lot of the gangs. And when the video circulated of Rob Ford, you know, smoking or sniffing or something, remember that footage?
Yeah.
My foster son had to deal with that. And, you know, maybe a lot of political complications there. So my foster son, I'm not going to say his name, he retired. He resigned from that position because he knew journalists would find out that his cousin was married to Rob Ford, who had the bad video, brother. So therefore, there's a conflict of interest potentially between my foster son and Doug Ford, which relates to Rob Ford. So he stepped out of that, and then he ran to become a judge, and he became a judge. There's a whole process in becoming a judge. So he was successful at that. And so not only did I have my foster son connection to Rob Ford, Sue Bone's son worked for Rob Ford just before his regime ended. So Sue Bone is an ancient friend. And so when Rob Ford quit and therefore the Sue Bone's son didn't have the job anymore, he came on our show here and told some secrets about his life with Rob Ford. So look, I had two insiders, his main aide, and through his brother, Doug, the connection through his wife. So that's pretty Xenocrinous. It's like being in the heart of some kind of power in Toronto and having direct access to it, which I seem to always get in my life. I always find out the secret stuff.
Hey, Bob, can I play a clip here from a TikTok video? And
a what video?
It's from a TikTok video. And okay. So you're going to hear in this, just to explain, you're going to be hearing reaction from the person who posted the video, who would, in the TikTok video, is seen at the bottom left of the screen and is playing a video related to the cabinet shuffle. All right?
Okay, so this is an average person reacting to Adam Vaughn's description.
No, not Adam Vaughn. He's reacting to Trudeau's commentaries and some kind of press conference that occurred related to the cabinet shuffle.
Okay, but I mean what Adam was talking about.
What Adam was talking about. Yes.
Yeah, the image management, he's going to comment. Okay.
Ready?
Canadians still don't feel like they're doing better than any others across the globe. So if you're looking to try and really strengthen that economic messaging to Canadians, why are you keeping Chrystia Freeland and François-Philippe Champagne in their current roles?
We have seen inflation come down in Canada faster than many, many of our peer countries. We've seen Canadians supported by targeted investments that have put money in their pockets while inflation has gone down.
You mean more taxes?
We have an incredible economic team, and I'm so proud to be doing this with my Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister, Chrystia Freeland. François-Philippe Champagne has been delivering, whether it's the Volkswagen deal that's going to create thousands, tens of thousands
$30 million
of jobs
of $30 billion Canadian tax
dollars. Southern Ontario and across
they didn't
the country,
invest.
Whether it's investments coming in.
It's not investments coming in.
From coast to coast to coast. We're bolstering that economic team with the likes of Jean-Yves Duclos, Sean Fraser, Anita Anand, and others that are going to continue to step up and make sure Canadians know that we've got their backs, but we've also got them into the kind of ambitious and optimistic future I know Canadians want, and that is a clear contrast from the brokenist philosophy.
Stop talking for us.
That the leader of the Conservative Party continues to put forward.
Okay, Greg, that was all Trudeau talking?
Except for the person going, wow.
Yeah, I heard the commentary from the woman. That's the one who's made the TikTok, right?
Yeah.
Well, who is the first person talking before, who's asking the question? Just a reporter?
Just a reporter, yeah. Basically saying, what if you're really concerned with having Canada be strong economically, why didn't you get rid of Freeland and this other guy, Champagne? Why didn't you get rid of them?
He got rid of Freeland? He got rid
what?
Of Freeland?
No. He's the reporter is asking Trudeau straight out, saying, like, if you're so interested in improving the financial lives of Canadians, why didn't you get rid of Freeland and this other guy?
Is that right?
Yeah, well here, listen. What? Listen carefully. Listen.
Yeah, let's do it again, because I couldn't follow a lot of it.
Doing better than any others across the globe. So if you're looking to try and really strengthen that economic messaging to Canadians, why are you keeping Chrystia Freeland and François-Philippe Champagne in their current roles?
We have seen inflation come down in Canada faster than many, many of our peer countries.
And basically, I mean, he just goes through the whole thing saying a bunch of nonsense. But the question is, I'll do it again.
No, no, but wait a minute, Greg. Hold it.
Still don't feel like they're doing better.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me say this. So there was a comment, if either you or the woman right at the beginning, was it you or the woman who said, what? You know, at the first.
Why? Or yeah, where? Right? Yeah, that's her. That's all her. You're not hearing me at all. She's saying, yeah, he's saying
like
inflation.
It.
Inflation is coming down. She's going, where?
Yeah, then she says taxes, I think, right? Taxes.
Yeah. She just countermands him on everything he's saying, which is true.
Yeah. And then he says, you don't listen to us.
Yeah.
No, that's good. So let's get a clear, hear it all again, have a clear understanding
all
of what's going on there.
Here we go.
Canadians still don't feel like they're doing better than any others across the globe. So if you're looking to try and really strengthen that economic messaging to Canadians, why are you keeping Chrystia Freeland and François-Philippe Champagne in their current roles?
We have seen inflation come down in Canada faster than many, many of our peer countries. We've seen Canadians supported by targeted investments that have put money in their pockets while inflation has gone down.
You mean more taxes?
We have an incredible economic team, and I'm so proud to be doing this with my Deputy Prime Minister and Finance Minister, Chrystia Freeland. François-Philippe Champagne has been delivering, whether it's the Volkswagen deal that's going to create thousands, tens of thousands
$30 million
of jobs
of $30 billion Canadian tax dollars.
In Ontario and across
they didn't
the country,
invest.
Whether it's investments coming in.
It's not investments coming in.
From coast to coast to coast. We're bolstering that economic team with the likes of Jean-Yves Duclos, Sean Fraser, Anita Anand, and others that are going to continue to step up and make sure Canadians know that we've got their backs,
wow,
but we've also got them into the kind of ambitious and optimistic future I know Canadians want, and that is a clear contrast from the brokenist philosophy.
Stop talking for us.
That the leader of the Conservative Party continues to put forward.
That's awesome. Hey, Greg, does she have comments underneath her TikTok? Greg?
Yeah. Yes.
Does she have comments underneath her TikTok?
Let me look. I had trouble finding it because a friend of mine sent me that on Facebook, and then I had to go through and find it.
Oh, okay.
Twitter. It's on Twitter, but it's on Twitter. I'll send you the link.
Yeah.
It's on Twitter, but it was originally someone took it and I guess made it
right,
into
now,
a TikTok or whatever.
Do you agree with her objections?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, she's pretty astute, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you an example. I went to the store the other day here, and I just looked at some English cheese.
Yeah.
You know, cheese from England. And it used to be $7.99. I got it in the last couple of years as low as $5 at the same store. It's now $10.99.
Wow.
So it's gone from $8, normal, kind of normal price, to $11 in a short period of time.
Yeah, and it was down a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I could go to a store and they were selling it for $5 a package.
It would so be a that's what he's in-store. Talking about. He got inflation down 3 years ago.
Yeah, she's saying, "Oh, I've you know, basically he's saying, "Oh, we've tackled inflation." It's just ridiculous.
He said a bunch of other words there. I was trying to remember, note them. I don't know, just silly complimentary. Oh yeah, he says the Canadians. I know Canadians want a better future. That's a fucking statement. Yeah, I know Canadians want to keep breathing. Look, to say that you know that they want to have an optimistic future, who the fuck doesn't, for fuck's sake? That's nutty talk.
I know.
That's like he doesn't have any words to say. So he just says fucking cliche bullshit because it's actually – he doesn't believe that there's going to be a good future. So he fills it in by saying – an absurd statement that, yeah, we old Canadians, he's not saying it's going to be one. He says, I know Canadians want an optimistic future, and we're going to do it. And then the woman says, you ain't fucking listening to us.
The funniest part of the video, actually, for me, is this guy gets up and says, why didn't you get rid of Freeland? And you see Freeland in the background. I mean, she's small, but you can see her reaction to being basically that someone going, having the audacity to say, why didn't you get rid of her?
Greg, that to me shows how pissed off journalists are. That fucking guy made a career-threatening statement. He didn't give a fuck. He says, you're ruining this fucking country, and you got to get rid of that asshole, is what
yeah,
he's doing
really
there, right?
If you're really interested in like, making the cabinet more acceptable, why are you keeping people who've failed?
And you know, I've heard from you how she's failed, but Trudeau tries to defend her. What is his defense about her?
I'm just so proud to be working with my my deputy prime minister and finance minister, Chrystia Freeland. I'm just so proud to be working with her. He doesn't say
Hey, Greg, that's always stating your stupid, irrelevant feelings. Once you get rid of her, she's ruining the country. Well, I'm proud. I'm proud to support an asshole. You know what I mean? We don't care that he's proud or his feelings about it. What are you fucking doing about it? Are you recognizing that she doesn't seem to be working?
Yeah, I love Ukrainian midget. I love her.
Yeah. You know, I never say about myself. I never said I am proud of this or I like that or I don't say nothing about myself on that emotional level.
Yeah, and you'd never say, I'm proud to have Greg Duffel on Office Hours. If anybody criticized you for having me on this program, I believe I'm the only person to have been openly criticized multiple times, or you have been criticized multiple times for even having me on here.
That's right.
But you've
Scott
never.
Did. He refused to listen as long as you're on here.
Right. But you've never stooped so low as to go, I'm proud to have Greg Duffel on this program.
I'm proud to acknowledge assholes. They are a part of our population. They should be given a voice. I'm proud that I'm that fucking generous to have Mr. Duffel on here. Of course, I'm very proud that I bounced it off with a fucking culture vulture, Mr. Brian Taylor. And then I'm proud to have a fucking ex-Canadian who cannot stand Canada and will not live here, and he's living in the gut hole, the piss hole, Serbia. I'm proud to have him on the show. Who else do we have? We got Chad, you. Oh, Clinton. I'm proud to have a gay Canadian beer salesman.
In the words of Ion.
Yeah, to quote our mentor, I am proud to have non-physical join my show. I've got non-physical out here. I am ecstatic having, I'm not just proud, I'm ecstatic to have non-physical who has given me 11 bodyguards. It's so fucking stupid being a prime minister. The kind of shit you got to say. No self-respecting human could tolerate that. You know, it's just endless love fest, right?
Yeah.
And behind the scenes, they're going, well, why'd you fire this guy? You know, well, he's a weak guy. He's not a strong liberal member.
I mean, he does. Well, I mean, the most natural thing to do under that circumstance for Trudeau, you can at least have a little bit of respect for him. If Trudeau goes, what do you mean I should get rid of her and this guy Champagne? Look, I trust these people. They've done a wonderful job for me. Look at what they've done. And he starts rattling off all the wonderful things they've done. Of course, he can't. They haven't done anything.
Yeah, so he expresses his feelings.
Yeah.
With no content there. Yeah,
and
irrelevant.
And speaks in our name. Like, it isn't that I'm proud. I'm so proud. I'm proud, yeah. But the Canadian people are proud. Because they know their whole future lies in the hands of these two idiots.
You know, we've got to get Margaret Trudeau in here. Did you cause this fucking monster of a little boy or what? What did you do? I mean, you did go and study Krishnamurti. I know that about you, Margaret. And then you went and met Trudeau at the Club Med. You're a bit of a princess. But then you had a hard time, media fucking bit the shit out of you, and you disappeared. How are you doing today? Are you proud of your fucking son?
I'll tell you who I'd want to get in here, and on this show, it would be possible to get her in here. That's Barbara Frum. I want to ask Chris some questions.
Yeah, what's he think of her son?
Yeah.
What an embarrassment that is.
Yeah, I want her on here.
Okay, we can do
that. I'm
going
to arrange that next week. I want Barbara Frum here.
Yeah. Well, just come in on the next show and bring it up with Ion, not on Office Hours. We'll give you a stretch of time there. And if hopefully Ion forgets all his resentments against you and just answers your questions.
All right, okay.